Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We're your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are back for probably one of my favorite episodes I'm really looking forward to discussing with you. How are you, friend?
I'm good. Don't we say that every episode is our favorite episode?
I think I say they're good. And honestly, we haven't recorded it yet, so it may not.
It may be really bad.
It may be really bad. And I know we have a really good interview next week that I've been looking forward to for like a year.
Yeah.
That will probably be my favorite episode, but I'm really excited.
Better than probably what they'll hear today.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this one because this is one of the very few times that you and I don't land on the exact same page. And so we get to talk about it and I'm really excited.
Have you guys ever wanted to hear us disagree on something? I can guarantee it's not going to be a debate because that's just not our style. But yeah, this is one of those topics that we disagree in, but that is for later on. You don't get to, well, I would say you don't get to know, but the title of the episode is already there. So you know what it's about, but yeah, whatever, Kristen. Yeah. Anyways, I'm doing great. I was thinking, I did not do any thinking of what this week has been like. It's been super crazy and busy.
It has.
It's Thursday night and I feel like Monday was just yesterday. So like I went through what, 4 entire days in what feels like 2, but that's kind of been, I think that's just life right now. That's just how it is when you're planning a wedding. I'm going to tell a little bit on Matthew the other day. I was talking about how stressed I was. Not like inordinately stressed. I was given the highest compliment in today. One of my people on my team, I was doing their one-on-ones for work. And she goes, Kristen, you're the most chill and laid back bride I've ever experienced. She was like, you're like 36 days from your wedding and you're just like, ah, it'll happen. I was like, well, yeah, that kind of is
so true. I am more like, have you done this? Have you done this?
Yeah.
Then you are.
It's one of those things. But yeah, Matthew was like, oh, you're stressed? I was like, yes, I'm stressed. I'm planning a wedding and, you know, doing all of this and preparing for a huge life change. And it was just funny, the dichotomy of like, he's like, what are you stressed about? I was like, everything, but it's fine.
Hey. But I get to see you next weekend.
Literally this time next week, we'll be seeing each other. That's like right. I'll have picked you up from the airport. It's on Thursday.
That's right.
Yep. So we are going on my little bachelorette weekend. Not getting wild and crazy. We're going to a cabin in Hocking Hills. I had 2 requirements. I said, I want a cabin and I want a hot tub. And so Shanna and my bridesmaids pulled through and made that happen. And it's literally just us, like me and the bridesmaids. And we're just going to go up and have a good time.
Yeah. I love that. Like to sit around and chat and hopefully encourage
together
you
flowers.
Some,
so we'll put together
put
flowers.
Together flowers. I knew I don't live there. So I knew I would have work to do. I'm
well, of
course.
That's
all I get.
I have to get some work out of you.
That's right. I just get to sit and watch everyone else.
But yeah, it's just been busy. I think that's just life right now.
That's the season you're in.
And that's okay. That's what I'm learning. Like, it's okay that I'm super busy and that I don't always, I've found that I've become that person that doesn't return texts. Like, I used to return texts and like, answer things right away. And I think even tonight you messaged and we're like, are you okay? Because it's not like me to read something and not respond to you
multiple times. Not just one time. I would never do that with just one time. There's multiple times. I'm like, are you okay?
Like, are you
and
alive?
And then all you said was yes.
Yes. I'm and like, you're like, are you sure?
That's not an answer.
Well, like, I think then follow it up with, I am at worship practice tonight. You did. So it's just been a busy season, and that's okay.
All good things.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Our last episode, I was not okay.
Yeah, our last episode was a little heavy.
The response to it, though, has been really encouraging. I know we were talking previously to recording that I had a lot of people kind of reach out and was like, "This, I really needed this for different reasons." And some had nothing to do with death, you know, but it was just grief in general, and that it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
And so that was really encouraging to me. And then I guess, you know, my father-in-law has been really sick for the last 13 years. I mean, literally, he was in the hospital when we got married.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Like on a trach, and like, he was really sick. And so, he had a really serious like heart procedure this past weekend. Well, on Monday, actually. And so we decided we were going to go to Shreveport on Sunday. Well, it was Saturday evening. And so we went on Sunday, and praise God, it could not have gone better. Like, it went so well. And like, it's the beginning of his journey. Although like, when we pray for our family night, we just pray for miraculous healing, which we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
And that he wouldn't need to have any more surgeries, but, just that he's feeling better, and that he's been in the hospital now for 3 weeks. And so, he got to go home today. And
that's exciting.
Yeah. And so like, when I was talking to people on Sunday about it, you know, I was just kind of just saying like, what next? Like, that's where I'm at. I'm like, okay, Lord, what next?
Yeah.
And it was just really encouraging to think that the season that I'm in right now will produce fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just keep thinking like the fruit that this is going to produce is going to make me more like Christ.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it easier in the moment.
No,
and I'm okay to have my days, and I'm okay to be sad or frustrated or whatever, but it's encouraging to think that the promise is that this is going to make me more like Christ, and that I am, this will produce fruit, you know?
Yeah.
So that was really encouraging, but yeah, we got home, on Tuesday. And so I know I was like, hey, when do you want to record this? And you were like, Thursday. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I have like 4 or 5 days to get my thoughts together. And I was like, oh, that's tomorrow.
Yeah. I think you even said that. You were like, that's tomorrow. I was like, sure, that's tomorrow. Like, it hadn't even registered in my brain. I was just like, Thursday is my only night. Just because we've had, you know, a busy season as well. All this week. Sorry, my cat is doing something back there. Yeah, all this week, like every evening I've had something, and I can't even remember what all the things that I've had. But like, we had our final like meeting with the venue, and I have to get a floor plan to them. So I got to figure that out, and you know, all those wedding things. And just, it's been something every evening. And so good things, all good things, but just busy season.
Sure.
So when you asked that, I was like, yeah, Thursday. Cause I had already thought through, I was like, okay, we have to record, I think Thursday night, which is typically what works out for both of us, I think.
Yeah.
Right now. But yeah, you were like, so yes, so tomorrow. I was like, sure, tomorrow.
That's great.
That, yeah, sure.
Well, hey, how's your Bible reading plan going?
I am on track.
Yeah, you are. Look at you. I love going through Samuel. Like, it's one of my favorites. I think I said this like last episode when we went through 1 and 2 Samuel in women's Bible study, and taking a deep dive into that was insane to me. And so it's been really great, but reading it chronologically along with the Psalms.
Yes.
And to know, like, you know, David was in a cave, and while he was in a cave, he wrote this particular Psalms, you know? And so that has been really, really fun, I think, to read them simultaneously.
Like, side by side. Yeah, exactly. I agree. So I've been not quiet about the fact that Psalms are not my favorite books to read, or passages to read. I just want to, as Shanna so eloquently put earlier, you just want to say, get it together, David, like, come on. And it's true. But it has been very good and gives a different perspective of being able to read the Psalms in conjunction with where he's at in the narrative. Because a lot of times we don't get to see that, and we don't think through of, okay, this is like, I literally just read the story of where he's at. And now these are the Psalms that he's writing for those and during that time. So it's been a different perspective on Psalms. Still not my favorite, but
that's okay.
It gives me a better appreciation of them. And so I feel like that's a win.
Yeah. So as of today, we have finished 1 Samuel.
Yes.
And I think we read a lot of Psalms today. And so we're about to start picking up in 2 Samuel. Yeah. And so, yeah, I've enjoyed this. We're 4 months in. So
yeah,
we are
4 months in, and I'm so excited, like, to see that people are continuing to be faithful in reading. And hopefully it's just as impactful and productive as it has been. I don't know. Productive is not the word that I want there, but it'll come to me eventually what word I want. But it's just been so helpful and impactful for me personally. And so I hope it's the same for you all as you read through this. And like you said, we're 4 months in, and which means we're almost a third of the way through the year.
That's wild.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
If you weren't already feeling any kind of panic, maybe that will make it set in that you're a third of the way almost through the year. Yeah,
that's wild. Well, let's get into today's topic, shall we?
Let's
do this. So last week was like a one-off episode. We talked about grief because I was grieving, and we just kind of talked about what that looked like. And prior to that, we talked about the doctrine of salvation. So now if we're kind of doing this purposely in a certain order, we have the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And, we talked about Christology and salvation, right? At the same time. I don't have my notes. I don't remember, but I think we did. And so now we have the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, which theologians would say it's pneumatology. And so it's a fancy word for the doctrine of the Holy Spirit.
Pneumatology. And that is with a silent P at the beginning for those of you that don't know.
Yeah.
Pneumatology.
Pneumatology. Why? I don't know. Pneumatology. So Kristen, I think it's interesting because this last week, the lesson that we talked to our taught our kids at church was on the Holy Spirit. And so there's always so many questions surrounding like the third person of the Trinity. And so I thought it would be very helpful before we kind of get into what the Holy Spirit does, just to say, who's the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. So we would say that in most Christianity, I will say most, not all, that would claim Christianity believe this, but most Orthodox Christianity would say that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and that he is equal in terms of nature, power, and glory with the Father and the Son. So it is, the Spirit is a person, not a force. And so we are able to enjoy a personal relationship with him.
And there's also, there's, he's referred to multiple times as he. Like a pronoun.
Yes.
And I know people will use the term Holy Ghost a lot. I remember Emma being like, is it a ghost? And I'm like, no, he's a person.
Yeah.
Like he's the third person of the Trinity. And so one way that we see that we're able to have a personal relationship with him is in 2 Corinthians. Paul says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So we are able to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is fully God, and whatever we affirm to be true of the Father and the Son, we will also say is true of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the greatest gift that the Father gives to those who follow the Son. That's a very Trinitarian way, right? Mm-hmm. If I was going to say that, the greatest gift that the Father gives to those who follow the Son is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Really what we're saying is the greatest gift given to believers, those who already know, love, and trust Jesus, is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I know we'll talk about it in a little bit, but everything comes from the Father through the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so with that, there are certain roles that the Holy Spirit does. And this is what we're going to talk about. We have a lot of scripture because I don't feel like, I mean, I feel like that's kind of important, right? Like you should know where we're getting this from.
Yeah, we're not just making it up.
Yes, there is scripture here to back this up. And this is a brief list, not a solid.
Comprehensive. Yeah, comprehensive, not a comprehensive list.
Thank you. I'm like, there's a word for
it. I knew. And I saw it kind of like flicker in your eyes where you're like, what's the word I'm looking for? And
solid. Comprehensive. Is the list is not comprehensive. That's right. So although the Holy Spirit is equal in terms of nature, his power, and his glory with the Father and the Son, he has different relation and roles. And so he has, he engages in particular works, right? And so we see it at the very beginning in mm-hmm. Genesis, that he was active in creation. Genesis 1:2 says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so like right out the gate,
right,
you see the Spirit, but it doesn't stop there.
Yeah, absolutely. He also is part of his works that he engages in is the conviction of sin in our salvation. So John 16 is a little bit of a longer one, 8-11. It says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So he, we would say that he does the work of convicting of sin. Mm-hmm. It's not the deliverer of the message that is doing that work. Mm-hmm. And I remember, we're already going to go on a tangent, what's new, but this is early on to go on a tangent, I feel like. But, and I may have mentioned this before, but I remember specifically my dad talking through about how when it clicked in his mind that it was not up to him and his words that he was preaching to cause salvation to happen in a person, in a sinner's life, mm-hmm. that was the Holy Spirit that does all of that. He said the amount of relief that he felt.
Yeah.
Now, he was still called to study, to be faithful to what scripture teaches. It's not something to like be able to just get up and flippantly talk about, right? Like there's still that responsibility, but the weight of the results completely left. Like he could know that I preached what scripture teaches, and it is up to the Spirit to do the convicting, the drawing, and the regeneration. Like that is what is in his court, and he can do that. And so
what we would say, it's the exact same thing that you're saying, but we would say that the Holy Spirit gives illumination. He opens the eyes to see ourselves rightly against the holy God. So he does the work of salvation, right? Like I'm a sinner in need of a savior, but that doesn't stop there. It's also an ongoing thing as believers, and part of our sanctification is the Holy Spirit. Again, we would say illuminates, opens our eyes, brings to light our sin.
Yeah.
And so it's an ongoing thing.
And it's
that's done, and that it's a kindness.
Right. And that's one of the fruits of being a believer, right? That's, I believe Paul says that like, that's how you know that you are a believer. And I know we will say that like, if you continue to have that conviction and that the Holy Spirit brings that to light, you know, there's still work going on. Like, mm-hmm. it's just an affirmation, a continual affirmation, yeah. That you are held in his hands. And yeah. so,
yeah. This next one I'm going to hit briefly because we have a great person coming on to talk about this yes. very topic. So one of the things the Holy Spirit also does is he unites us with Christ. And with that, he dwells with every believer. So Romans 8, one of my favorite passages in scripture, says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Mm. So we are united with Christ, which impacts literally every part of our life. And that's our next interview that we have. And I'm so excited for it. So I'm just going to leave it there. We're gonna put a pin in that because we're going to circle back around to it for an entire episode because it's really great.
Yeah.
But yeah, what else, Kristen? What else does the Holy Spirit do?
He also, so I'm going to sandwich a couple of these. He teaches and he leads. So he, we see in John 14, it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Mm. And he also leads, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, is what Romans tells us.
Mm-hmm. He reveals truth, which kind of goes back with that, like, the helper, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to remembrance. He reveals truth to you. So when he's called the Spirit of Truth, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. That's in John 16. So he reveals truth, but he also strengthens and encourages. And so in Acts, we are seeing, like, you have Pentecost and we see, like, the early church forming, right? And it says, Acts 9 says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Do you know where we are?
Yeah.
You're just looking at me.
Yeah. No, I wasn't sure if you were going to continue.
Yeah. No, go for it.
Okay. This is the reality of it, right?
Leave that
I was going to say, I'm not editing that out. I think it's hilarious that people, that you're like, do you even know where we're at? Yes. I was waiting for you to continue.
It was done.
Anyway, she was done apparently. oh man. The other things that the Spirit does, that he comforts and intercedes on our behalf.
And
behalf.
We, behalf.
Behalf.
It's getting late. It is late for you. We referred to this in our last episode because I remember the Holy Spirit brought this to mind when I was in my grief. And like, I don't have the words right now other than my heart is broken.
Right.
And so you're going to read Romans 8.
Yeah. Romans 8 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And I would say probably this one is one of the ones that we're most familiar with, like the work of the Holy Spirit. I feel like it's one that's often explained and expounded upon. It's just one that, yeah, I've heard taught on a lot, is that he is the comforter, that he intercedes on our behalf. But he also bears witness. So Romans 8 also says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Yeah. And we would just sum all of that up to say all things are done by his power. Mm-hmm. My kids have a saying that they have learned in church, and it's I think I said it at the beginning, actually, everything comes from God the Father through God the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's, I think, a really easy way for them to remember the Trinity and the roles of the Trinity. But you know, we still see, we know that all of this happens in the life of a believer, the things that the Holy Spirit does for us, but he's also really active in the church today. Mm-hmm. And so we see, in Acts that he establishes leaders in the church. And so, Acts 20 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I think that scripture right there mm-hmm. could preach Acts 20, 28. If Absolutely. You're listening and if the Holy Spirit gives you the prompt to preach on that
prompt,
the prompt, that's the word I'll use. Go ahead.
No, he also empowers the church to engage with the non-believers,
which is what you're kind of talking about, not just with your dad earlier, because that's also believers, but I think there's such a stigma of like, no one got saved today.
Yes, oh my God, you exactly. know? And
so, yeah.
So, and one of, I would say one of the most recognizable passages when you talk about passages about the Holy Spirit is Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it just clicked in my brain. It might be that I'm so familiar with that because of my missionary kid background, in that I heard that preached so many times because it is a really big missions.
It is
a verse about mm-hmm. going to the ends of the earth
mm-hmm.
and how, yeah. Anyways, I could sit here and probably preach a sermon on that,
it's
but
true.
We don't believe that way.
We're women. We're not going to do that.
Anyways,
she is spicy.
I am spicy.
And this last one kind of leads us in a little bit into our next conversation. He is actively distributing the gifts of God to the members of the church. 1 Corinthians 12 says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there's varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And I'm going to come back to that last part later. Mm-hmm. But I think we would both agree that the Lord has given his people gifts.
Yes.
We are going to go into another little section, I guess, where Kristen and I don't land on the exact same page, but we are just going to kind of lay before you, the listeners, where we land. And in our show notes, we will have books and articles for both of these positions. And our heart is that you will read and search and pray and let the Holy Spirit show you what it is, because this is what we would call a theological distinctive, meaning it's not a salvation issue. Kristen, obviously I believe Kristen is a believer and she believes that I'm a believer. Yes. And, so this is not what this does is this really, where you land on this, just kind of helps you live out your life. Like you're going to live out your life in this way. If your church lands in one of these areas there, the church is going to walk in this way.
Yeah.
And so there are two different areas here. I'm going to let Kristen read the one where she lands, and I'll read the one that I land. Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, go for it.
So where I would land would be, the term is cessationist. The essential claim of cessationism is that there are certain gifts or activities of the Holy Spirit mentioned in Scripture that are not available or necessary for the church today. This is very important, this last part, right, mm-hmm. In the stance of a cessationist. Yeah. This does not mean that God no longer does anything miraculous, but that it is not normative. I think that's a very important part. As we were talking through this, I said the thing about where we land is neither one of us would deny the existence of the Holy Spirit. I think that's super important to be able to say, is that neither of us would deny the existence of the Holy Spirit. It's and we're probably going to end up using two different terms just based on where we come and where we sure. land on. So when we talk about the gifts specifically that I believe have ceased, which is where cessationism comes from, is that those had ceased.
Can we define first the before we get to that part, we said a few minutes ago that we both agree that there are, that God gives gifts to his people.
Yes.
Both sides of this would say, you know, there's the gift of leadership, the gift of evangelism, yes, the gift of teaching. Like, not everyone is a teacher. Not everyone, you know, right, is a great leader. Not everyone has a gift of hospitality. Like, mm-hmm, the Lord gives gifts to his church. We would both, yes, agree with that. So what Kristen's about to say is kind of where we kind of part ways just a little bit.
Part ways is that I would term them as the apostolic gifts. Shanna will refer to them as the sign gifts. And that is ultimately because of where we both land, why we use, yeah, that specific terminology. So know, yeah, that when we say those terms, as we're discussing this, they're the same set of gifts. And primarily, mm-hmm, it is healing, mm-hmm, speaking in tongues, and prophecy. Those are, mm-hmm, the three that really,
yeah,
this distinctive kind of deals with, is those three specific ones.
Yeah.
Again, I would consider them apostolic gifts. Shanna would consider them sign gifts. So yeah, I gave the cessationist definition or the view. Yeah. And so I'm going to turn it over to Shanna to be able to talk through the continuationist side.
Thanks, my friend. And I realize, so I grew up as a cessationist. And so I realize I'm the minority for most of my, most of our listeners, I'm the minority. And so I'm actually probably going to take it a little further, just to kind of explain my side of it a little bit. And I would never try to make Kristen a continuationist. I would never do that. Yeah, and she would never try to make me a cessationist. So yeah, wherever you land, that's where you land, and that's okay. So a continuationist believes that the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we see on display in the New Testament are still active within the life of the local church. These gifts did not end with the close of the New Testament, or with the death of the last apostle. And so I have had this weird, like, I've landed in this really weird space based on multiple things that have happened to me personally that I have seen through the church happen. Everyone, if you listen to this, you know that I'm Reformed. Like, that's not a surprise. most Reformed people are cessationist. And I hate to use the word charismatic, because when people think of charismatic, they think of like Benny Hinn, you know, like, let me lay hands on you and you're going to fall out on the ground, and like running around the church and speaking in tongues and all of those things. And that is not me. But by charismatic, I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still active today. I do also think that there is guidelines given in scripture. And so I would love, Kristen and I actually have not talked about this at all prior.
Not so at all. This is what's going to be really fun.
Stop me when you want to.
Oh, I will.
I have no doubt about that.
Because I didn't jump into all of this because I wanted to give just like the precursor. And yeah, then like,
well, do you want to go back to you? Or do you want me
No. Okay. Go, because, okay, because I'm more likely
we're
to
not
jump
debate
in
either. We're not going to debate.
This is not going to be a debate. It literally is just kind of presenting where we come from.
Yeah. And like, Kristen's gonna be like, hey, I don't agree with that. I'm like, cool, I do.
And
we're gonna move on. Good for you. So this is my perspective. And this is just me thinking out loud. So welcome to my brain. If I was sitting and having like a cup of coffee with you or a drink with you, if you are Kristen in my living room or my husband in my living room, this is literally my thoughts. So it's a scary place to be.
Enjoy.
You need like music added. I think that, you know, there are many Christians who will say and testify to the miraculous events of God, but then they act like that power is still not available. They'll say that it is, but then like, they're like, but is it really? And the more I have talked to missionaries or have done research or talked to people who have been to mission trips overseas, I have found that this is a very Western idea. of trying to rationalize everything. Most people in other countries, if they are religious, will say that there is, and I'm not saying it's like God, you know, or like they believe in Jesus, but they will say like there is a spiritual thing behind everything that's done. But in the West, we're like, I don't understand that. And I can't wrap my head around that. And so I think a lot of that came from like the Enlightenment, right? Where it's like, mm-hmm. we have to rationalize it. If I don't understand it, this did not happen. Mm-hmm. And then you have people like Thomas Jefferson, who like he went in, there's actually a Bible in the Smithsonian called the Jefferson Bible or Jeffersonian. I think it's Jefferson, the Jefferson Bible. And he went in because in his mind, he could not rationalize the miracles of Jesus. He just took them out. He just took them out.
He's like, man, we don't need these.
I don't understand it. So we're just not going to have it there. And just took them out.
If that were the case, I'd just get rid of the whole Bible because I don't understand half of this.
I just read where Samuel, the Bible literally said hacked Agag. And I'm like, I don't, what? So yeah, that was crazy. Also, I'm pausing this because I just got a text. I heard someone scream and I text my husband as we're talking. And I'm like, hey, I just heard someone yell. And apparently my son lost his tooth. So,
oh,
he lost his
way
tooth.
Way to go, Ollie. That's
there you go. Back to the Holy Spirit. So I really feel like there is just a lot more available than like, I don't want to use the term like, I don't know how to say this. There's a lot more available than what we're playing with. I don't know. Like as the life of a Christian, I think there's a lot more available to us. Kristen would say apostolic gifts. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking and I'm going to say the sign gifts. I think we read a verse earlier. I don't even know where it is now, but it was like in 1 Corinthians 12:7. And it said to each is given, where is it? I don't know. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so first off, I would say if you have a assigned gift of the Spirit, it's to be used for the church, for the building up of the church and not for yourself. I think a lot of charismatic people, there's been videos where they've been, I mean, like you've seen it, like Todd White or whatever, like sat there and like, with a sleight of hand made this guy's leg longer or something. It's been given for the building up of the church. And there are guidelines for that. And I think that's super important because I don't feel like I can throw out one gift because I don't understand it or never seen it happen. But I've seen healing and I've seen people prophesy. But I've never seen people speak in tongues in the right way. I just never have. I think it'd be freaking cool. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it. I think scripture is clear that there should be an interpreter. I've seen people speaking in tongues and never had an interpreter. And it was mass chaos. And I don't think that God is the author of chaos. So that's where I land on that. But I think in 1 Thessalonians 5, there's guidelines. And it says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold out what's good. And so don't quench the Spirit. Like quench is like to put out, you know, don't extinguish. And so part of that would be like resisting the Spirit or ignoring the Spirit, which I think every believer hopefully has been like, man, the Spirit, like the Holy Spirit really convicted me of that. And if you ignore it, like that's quenching the Spirit, you know, and that plays out in different ways if you're talking about healing or whatever. But and then it says, do not despise prophecies. And I think the big thing, you ready for my soapbox for a second?
Yeah.
I was telling Kristen this prior to this. I was like, here's my problem. prophecy builds up and encourages. It never tears down and destroys. It always builds up and encourages the church. So for example, like a prophecy would be like, you have a revelation from the Lord and it's unexplainable. If you come up to me and you're like, the Lord told me, I'm going to be like, no, he did not. The canon's closed. No, he did not. If you come up to me and you're like, hey, I don't know what this is about, but the Holy Spirit really impressed upon me on about this, I'm just going to tell you it to you and you pray about it and see how the Lord leads you. That's different. And I've had that happen to me. I've had someone have a dream and they're like, I don't understand this, but maybe you do. And I'm like, huh, that makes a lot of sense. You know, that I believe is prophesying. I don't believe it's like the Lord told me that you were doing this and you shouldn't be doing this. And like, I don't think that that's true because thus saith the Lord happened in the Bible.
Right.
Do you have something to say? You were looking like you're about to say something. Go on. Yeah. Prophecy builds up and encourages. And then it says, but test everything. And so by that, it means like test or discern everything. And I think our basis of that is, does it make much of Jesus? And is it in agreement with the word of God? And if it's not, then it's not from the Lord. And it's not not something that we should be doing or partaking in, you know? And I think there are like, what do you do with miracles? You know, I think there are ways that we can kind of position ourselves under the Lord. And I think immediately of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel and how, he's like, let me find it real quick. Sorry. Daniel, there it is. Daniel 3. It says, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you that we will not serve your God or worship the golden image. And so I think it's really helpful in terms of when you're thinking of this, it's like God can heal, God will heal. But even if he doesn't, he's still good and my life is still his. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important when we're talking about, I've already told you where I stood on tongues. There has been people that I know have seen it where someone would stand up and start speaking in another language. And like, there's an interpreter there and they're like, I don't even know I could speak that. And here I am interpreting. I've never seen that with my own eyes. I have seen prophecy and I have seen healing. And that's happened to me personally. Like, I remember specifically, Kristen, you remember this, but my mom was visiting me. And on the other side of it, 4 years later, I really think a lot of it was anxiety, but there was still a lot of very internal, like I had chest pains like all the freaking time. I couldn't sleep. It'd wake me up at night. Like, and my mom came to visit and I was just telling her, I was like, it feels like it's my sternum. Cause she was trying, she's like, is it your heart? We have heart problem in our family. Mm. And I'm like, no, it feels like my sternum. I just kept saying that. I'm like, it's just right here. It's my sternum. And we have this thing at our church called Encounter once a month. And, it's just a space that we set aside for the church to be able to come together and worship and pray and to use our gifts to build up the church. And I remember Matt was standing on stage and I'm sitting there with my mom. I got her to come with me. Like, what are all the chances that she's there? And he gets up there and he's like, here's our prayer points. We're going to pray for, like, I think it was like, I mean, it was something within the church, like more volunteers. Like it was just prayer points for God's people to pray. And he's like, and I don't know why, and this could be nothing, but I just feel like there's someone here that has pain and that needs healing. And I'm just feeling like there's something right here. And he's pointing to his sternum and he said the word sternum. And my mom looked at me and she grabbed my hand, and my mom is going to listen to this, so I am not lying. And she's like, did he know? And I was like, no, Matt Chandler didn't know. Like,
no, he didn't know.
He didn't know. And I just start crying. So I'm like, I've been having pain in my chest. And specifically, I've used the term sternum. And so we went down, there was elders and like, we have a prayer team that was up there. And I was just going to pray with one of the elders. And Lauren, his wife, was sitting on the stage. And I was like, hey, would you just tell Matt that I just want to encourage him that he did hear from the Lord, that this wasn't just like, he wasn't dreaming this. because I've been having very bad sternum pain, and I actually had a doctor's appointment scheduled the next day for it.
Next day, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The next day for it, and I was like, I'm just gonna go pray with an elder in the back. Can you just encourage him with that? And she's like, no, hold on one second. You can tell him.
No.
So she called. Yeah. No. So she calls him over, and it's so sweet. He had Nora, his daughter, at the time. Man, she was probably in fourth or fifth grade. So you're thinking 10 or 11. And I love that she was included in on that. Nora was there, Matt, Lauren, and my mom, and they all just laid hands on me and just like prayed over me. And I remember specifically Lauren is like, you know, Lord, I don't know what this is. But as I'm praying, I just see like this canopy, kind of like a tent, and that you are upholding the tent. But, I just see like fire and like things raining down on the tent that want to destroy her. And I feel like she's really trying to seek after you. But the enemy is trying to take that away. And so just uphold that tent, Lord, like uphold that tent. Like she didn't pray for my healing.
Mm-hmm.
She prayed for that tent. Her prayer stuck out with my mom the most, more than people praying for my healing, because I'd been in the training program. Mm-hmm. Like a lot had been happening, and I was very stressed out. And so my mom was like, that stuck out more to me, that the enemy, like you're seeking and searching the Lord, and that the enemy is trying to pull you down. Later that night, getting on with my story, later that night, I am asleep. I'm laying in bed and I'm like, I mean, we'll see. Time will tell. I was skeptical. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. But I was laying in bed and I woke up with like this crazy itch. Like the inside of me was just like itching. And I'm like, I don't understand what's happening, but I can't make it itch. Like it's just itching. And so I was like, that was the weirdest thing ever. And so the next day I was talking to a friend. And I was telling her, recounting this whole thing. And she was like, Shanna, like sometimes things that heal itch. And I was like, maybe that's interesting. See? And as you and John Eric know, I've never had a chest pain since that day. I've never had a chest pain since that day. Did Lauren or Matt heal me? Absolutely not. God healed me through his people. And I think It's God who heals. It's not people, because it's God who knows it's not people. And I think of like, even in the New Testament, you have Paul who were like raising people from the dead, and Paul was healing people. But then there was some people he couldn't heal, like Timothy, whatever was going on with Timothy. He's like, drink some wine for your stomach. You know,
yeah.
Like you think he would heal him if he could? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the phrases that, we have used at our church and that has stuck with me, is that it's the Spirit of God that does the work of God through the Word of God. And so like the Word of God is like our foundation for everything. And it is not people that heal, but I do think that it is setting aside a time. You're like, okay, Lord, like use me. And he may, and he may not, you know, but I do think that that is available today, because I've seen it now. If the Lord wants to like blow my socks off and let me witness someone who doesn't know how to speak another language, translate, that'd be amazing. But I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
But I can't take one away when I have seen the other two, you know? And so, yeah. I don't know. That's where I land personally, because I have personal experience.
Yeah. So that's where Shanna lands.
Yeah.
And I would land on the opposite side again, that, and I'm not going to be nearly as eloquent as Shanna is, because I just kind of fly by the seat of my pants. That is my
MO. That is our relationship.
But so as we discussed before, we would say I would believe that the cessationist is the view that the miracle gifts or the apostolic gifts have ceased, and that came about at the end of the apostolic age, that it brought the end of that. And so there were specific things that denoted apostles. So there were specific things to that people, why the apostles were considered the apostles, right? And that those were the ones that had these sign gifts, and that it was because of the establishment of the church, of the early church, that it was as a sign that the message that they were preaching was true, And because we have the closed canon in scripture, that once the apostolic age ended, that those sign gifts or apostolic gifts were no longer necessary and that they passed away and that they ceased. Like I said, I'm not nearly as eloquent or verbose as Shanna, but verbose. You like that word?
I did like that word.
And so this is not to say that the Holy Spirit does not heal.
What good would it be to pray if he didn't?
Right, exactly. We just wouldn't say that it would be through a physical healing of like someone prays and then they're healed, if that makes sense. Like it's just a little bit different in a nuance. I think the main sticking point beyond healing, I think healing is probably the one that most everyone would agree to some degree that happens, because I believe everyone has experienced that, right? Like you have someone, or at least you know of someone. You may have not experienced it yourself, but you know of someone that had cancer, like diagnosis of cancer. And they go to their church and have prayer, and they just like bathe in prayer over the next few weeks. And then they go back to the doctor, and the doctor says, it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So we would absolutely consider that a miraculous healing, right? I think the other two, being prophecy and speaking in tongues, are the two that are a little bit more squirrely, if you will. Primarily because we would say that specifically tongues, you know, 1 Corinthians specifically says that tongues are for a sign, not to those that believe, but to those that don't believe. So it was specifically to that. And it's hard because many people will explain it away because it has not been used properly, right? So in the apostolic age, you see that tongues were actual languages, right? Known languages that people knew and understood. And the tongues that you see practiced by and large nowadays is not that.
And so, I would agree with you on that.
Right, exactly.
What I was saying earlier was like, someone's like, I had no idea I could understand Spanish, you know, I don't know. That's everyone around here knows Spanish. I don't, but it'd be like me being like, I had no idea I could interpret that.
Right. And one of the things that people say is that if that were the case, and again, there are ways to refute back and forth. That's the thing. And we're not going to turn into a debate, but part of that I was doing some reading is that then why do missionaries need to go to language school to learn if this is something that the Holy Spirit can give miraculously to learn a different language, right? There's a lot of different things that people will say. But one of the things I just am of the persuasion is that they ceased with the apostolic age, that they were for a specific purpose, that they were for the establishment of the church when the early church was in its very infant stages, that it needed the support of these sign gifts. But then once the church was established, that those things were not needed anymore. And there's a whole bunch of different reasons that we could get into, but it's been
a debate, and we're not doing that.
Right. We're not debating necessarily. Yeah. I wanted to give Shanna the opportunity to present.
I am the minority here. Everyone understands that.
Exactly. Because I guarantee you that most everyone is convinced.
Yeah.
Not guarantee that everyone, many people will be convinced on the cessationist side. And so I wanted to give, well, we both wanted Shanna to have the opportunity to be able to present the other side.
I think the biggest, were you going to keep going? Sorry.
Nope, go on.
Okay. I was going to say, I think the biggest thing, like to wrap this up, is that we would both say that the Spirit makes much of Jesus. And so no matter what side you land on, it's that the Spirit makes much of Jesus, you know? And go ahead.
I would definitely also, without a doubt, say that the Holy Spirit is probably the least talked about.
Yeah.
Part of the Trinity.
Least understood.
Least
for sure.
Understood. I remember Francis Chan, regardless of how you feel about him, came out with a book called The Forgotten God. And it was about the Holy Spirit and how the Western church, especially, tends to discount. And I would say that we've all been guilty of that, of discounting the Holy Spirit to our detriment, right? Sure. And so I think as a cessationist, you can still acknowledge the Holy Spirit and recognize its role in the church,
to equip believers.
Yeah, absolutely.
To do the work of the ministry. We would both agree on that for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I have this, dream of mine as like a reformed, I need another word other than charismatic because it has a terrible connotation in the West. You will never see me running down an aisle and falling out on the ground. I've been in independent fundamental Baptist churches where they do that. And they're not speaking in tongues, but they are running around.
Well, they run down the aisle.
Yeah. You're not going to catch me doing that. But it's just this dream where, like worshiping in spirit and in truth is like, I don't know. It's really hard to put into words how I feel because I think I've been on the spiritual warfare side of things. Like in my home, you know, like I have stories that are crazy in my home, and to feel the empowerment of like, which I think you would probably say that, right? Like rebuking that, you would say that, right? That's not really a sign gift, is it? Like rebuking like demons and like, it's like I don't know, it's late for you. It's already after midnight or I would share this story, but like having, you've never seen a mad mama as you have, as I was when, and it was our own fault. Like we invited it into our home by watching this certain TV show, but like short story is my husband was having dreams. Emma was seeing things in her room and she was like 4 and 5. And I was pulled off my bed by my ankles. Like it was insane. But like it took me getting angry, which is terrible. I have grown since then. It took me getting angry when my daughter started seeing things in her room to be like, no, Satan, like this is not like you, not that. Well, at the time, Emma wasn't a believer. So I do think there was war over her soul for that. But it's just really hard for me to say like, hey, it's not all available to the church. But like there you have this like demonic activity that's happening. And I'm like, there's so much available to the church if God's people would just step into it. And a lot of times I find myself like in Mark saying like, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, like a lot of times that's where I land. I'm like, I have a very Western culture and a very Western mindset. And I want to rationalize everything. And I'm like, okay, maybe like, maybe, but really, maybe not. I'm like, man, like help my unbelief, Lord. Cause he's proven to me over and over again.
And the thing that
go ahead.
I think I would land would be at the end of the day, it could be a strange combination of the both, right?
Yes.
Like,
I don't feel like we're that far off. I don't feel like so many things.
Right. I don't feel like we either one may like there. I hold it with this is what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I also recognize that there's things that I held that I believed.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
Hold, please.
What is happening?
Is losing her mind.
Well, is your door open again?
Well, yeah. But
Matthew, I know you're listening. I hate it so much. Tell her.
My
to
cat
close
is
her
also
door.
Destroying some flowers that are for the wedding. So give me just a second. I've got to go handle that.
Please go handle that cat. Yeah. I was as she's taking care of her cat and flowers. And I'm here by myself. I think where we would land on all of this is that the spirit always points back to Jesus. And if it doesn't, it is not of, it's not of the Lord. And, would you say, I mean, we agree on that. Yeah. The spirit makes much of Jesus. You hear me? Can you?
I couldn't hear a thing you said. So I'm not agreeing to whatever you said without knowing.
I was saying we would agree that the spirit makes much of Jesus. And if it doesn't, sure. if the spirit does not point back to Jesus, then we are not, the son of the Lord, and we don't support
Absolutely.
That. So yeah. In our show notes, we will list, I will work on that for you. I will.
Yeah. Can you get me the list?
Yes. I will give you the list of, if you want to do a deep dive. Yesterday I actually spent some time, I read a couple of articles on both sides. I listened to sermons on both sides. And I've been tending to do that more often just because I feel like you can't land somewhere truthfully if you don't know where the other side is, you know? And so, we can post those. And so if people want to, land a certain way because they believe that's where the Holy Spirit has landed them, then yes and amen. And I feel like everyone should research this for themselves.
Yeah.
So I hope that was helpful. I hope we didn't confuse people more. If nothing else, I hope we encouraged people to go and, dive in the word and trusted resources for themselves and figure out where they land on this, because it does impact the way you live your life. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily your salvation. I don't believe that. Well, believing in the Holy Spirit. Yes. But yes, the gifts. No,
the gifts specifically. Right. Like we both would agree that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity and, you know,
and that's the most fundamental thing.
Yes, that is a fundamental.
Yeah.
A theological. So that's what we would consider a theological, a fundamental. Mm-hmm. A theological distinctive is how those play out, specifically those three apostolic gifts. Just getting that in there one last time.
Let you have it.
How those would play out in current times.
Yeah. So. Well, in your life, in the life of the church that you're in.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. I concur.
That having been said, we have wrapped up pneumatology.
Yeah, we did. So,
but
do you want to say what's coming?
Yes.
So, in the future.
As you all have heard many, many times.
Every episode.
Every episode you get a wedding update. And that wedding is... Well, it's officially midnight, so 5 weeks from today is when that wedding is coming about. So because of that, and because we recognized that May was going to be a very busy month just for the both of us, Shanna is coming out here next week for my bachelorette trip and then coming out here for the wedding. And then she's also got some traveling that they're doing. And we just knew it was going to be a busy time, an even busier time than what we normally have. And I'm, you know, planning a wedding.
There's that.
And going on a honeymoon and all of that fun stuff, that we decided to ask some guests to help us out for the month of May. So we are recording an interview that will be coming out. So we will
been waiting. Forever for this. I've
been waiting so long for this. So we record that interview next Thursday.
We're releasing that. I booked my airplane ticket around this interview because I'm so excited.
You did. And then we'll be having a couple guest hosts that will be recording episodes for us. And we'll probably still be on the episode that we release. Doing, you know, our intro and different things like that. It just won't be, you won't hear us the entire time on all of them. So there's going to be a couple episodes that we release that is not going to be us, but it's other podcast hosts that are wonderful friends of ours that we enjoy being in community with. So That's exciting, just to kind of give you a preview of what the next few weeks, or really month or so, month and a half, is going to look like.
Yeah. And I also just want to add a little nugget here. Life's been busy, as Kristen just said. And then I've had a lot of life events happen as well. So hopefully after, I'm doing none of this prior to her wedding, but after her wedding, I really want to start putting out like articles and have guest writers and speakers and things like that, that you will find on our website. So don't forget about our website and the merch that is there. You can find all of that on growingracepodcast.com.
Good job. I have to look it up and be like, yes, wait, what is it?
I think that was off the top of my head.
It's impressive.
But we have really big hopes and dreams for this, and they've kind of been stifled a little bit with just life and all good things, all things the Lord has planned with her getting married and just things that's happened with me. They just kind of been on hold. And so hopefully starting in June, we can get back to that.
Yeah. Because remember when we were supposed to sit down and have like where we went to see all of this in 3 weeks or in 3 months, years, 5 years.
That never happened. Know.
That never happened.
You got engaged.
I got engaged. That's what happened. It's all Matthew's fault. We were supposed to discuss it that time. Anyway,
I'm going to get a text tomorrow from him.
Probably. Kidding, Matthew.
All right, friend.
Well,
I will talk to you prior to this, but I will see your face for our next amazing interview next week.
I'll get to see your face in like on a computer screen. And then like, a few short hours later, see you actually in Cincinnati for the very first time that you've ever been in Cincinnati.
Very first time.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
It you've took me getting to married to finally get you up here.
Twice. Twice in 2 months.
Twice in 2 months. Anyways. Well.
Okay.
Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.